Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tzadi. We left off by the Mishnah on daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Rosie and Mark Friedman commemorating the second yard site of Rosie's mother, Jeannie Gluck, alayhi shalom, and the Ili Nishmas Yosef ben Mordechai, alayhi shalom, by his friends. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and the Neshamah Shav and Aliyah. So we are holding again at the Mishnah Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. This is the last daf of the ninth parak of Maseches Shabbos, so we're going to continue discussing a variety of things, and what the Shir of Hotza'ah is for those items. So our Mishnah is going to talk about the Shir Hotza'ah for Eitzim, and for dyes, and for detergents, and when we're then going to, the Gemara is going to identify a variety of detergents, and then the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about peppers, and tar, and besamim, and metal, and how much of each of those items a person has to carry outside in order to be chayav for hotza'ah. The Gemara is going to discuss what the function of such small quantities of those items are, because obviously you're only chayav for hotza'ah if you carry out a shear that's worth using. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a spice box and what the shear of Hotza'ah is for the various spices in a spice box. And then the Gemara is going to, and the Mishnah is also going to talk about the shear Hotza'ah for grasshoppers, kosher ones, not kosher ones, live ones, dead ones. The Gemara is going to talk about what you would have, what sort of usage you would have for any of those things, live, kosher ones, dead, non-kosher, all of the different different combinations over there. And that will bring us to the end of the parak, Bez Hashem. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, and again we are at the Mishnah Hamotzi Eitzim. So the Mishnah discusses Hamotzi Eitzim. If a person carries wood out into Rosh Hasharabim for firewood, Kedei Levashel, the shear is going to be Kedei Levashel Beitza Kala. The shear is going to be the amount that you would need to cook a Beitza Kala, an easily cooked egg, because we said that means a Beitzas Tarnagoles, because that is the most easily cooked of the eggs. It's not the smallest egg, but it's the egg that cooks the most quickly. We already had that back on Daf Pei. Tavlin, and if a person is motzi tavlin, different types of besamim, that kedei letabel beitza kala, then the shear is, or different types of spices rather, then the shear is in the amount that you would need in order to be metabel, in order to spice a beitza kala. So the tzvasemis raises the question, well, why would the shear of tavlin be the amount to be mespasa, to be metabel a beitza kala? The shear of ochlin is always a grogeris, it's kagrogris. So why don't we say that the shear of tavlin is the amount of tavlin you need to spice a grogeres of a beitza kala? So he says maybe a beitza tarnagolas needs less tavlin than other foods, and that's why it's a smaller shear. Meaning, just like we said, beitza tarnagolas is the easiest thing to cook, and that's why it's a smaller shear of wood that would be used for firewood to cook it. Maybe when it comes to tavlinim also, it doesn't need much spicing, and therefore it's a smaller shear than a grogeres of other foods, and that's why we dafka say the tavlin in the amount that would be metabel beitza kala. Umitztarifim zem zeh, but they're mitztarif with each other. The different types of tavlin are mitztarif with each other for the shear. Klipe agozim, klipe remotim, istis upua, kedei litzpa, and ben beged katan, pisvacha. That all these different types of dyes that they would use, the shear is the amount that they would use to dye a small beged, which is the shear of the amount of wool that you would put on a pisvacha by the weaver instruments. The small woven piece that a woman puts on the top of her hat that she covers her head with. Meira glayim, neser uvoris, kumulya va'ashlug, all different types of detergents. Kedei l'chabes beged katan pisvacha. It's the amount that you would use to be mechabes that tiny garment that a woman uses. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei l'havir sakesem. Now the amount of detergents you would need is to be the amount that you would need to remove the stain of dam nida that you find on a beged in order to be metaher the beged. That's the Mishnah says in Maseches Nida. If a woman finds a kesem shel dam, the size of a gris, on her beged, she's tameh because we assume that it's dam nida. But if you're mechabes the kesem with these sammanim, and the kesem does not get removed, the kesem remains, so that's mochiach that the kesem is not dam, rather it's a dye. So these dyes are, these detergents are used to determine the identity of the blood, of the stain, whether the stain is in fact blood, and the woman is tameh mishum kesem, which is nisr midrabanan, which is a tumah midrabanan. We assume a woman becomes a nida midrabanan when she finds a stain. In order for a woman to become a nida midaraisa, there has to be a hargasha. The Gemara darshins Bivisara ad shetargish bivisara. 3 days in Pischei Tshuva and Simchut Pei Gimel, what exactly Hargasha means, whether Hargasha means that Nizdaza Gufa, that she feels that her entire body shakes, or Hargasha means Sheniftach Makara, she feels the uterus opening up, or Hargasha means Zivas Dover Lachmi Bifnim, the flow of some moisture. But without a Hargasha, a woman does not become a Nida Midaraisa. But even if she just finds a stain, she becomes a Nida on a Drabana level. The thing with the stain is that you don't know that it's Dam Minamakar, it could be something else. It could be identified as something else. So one of the ways to identify that the Mishnah says is that they use shivasam manim, they use detergents, and they see what happens if those detergents clean off the stain or not. So that's the detergents that we're referring to over here in our Mishnah. So now, the Mishnah said that when you're carrying out firewood, the shear is the amount that you need to be mevasha lebeitza kala. So tanina chadazimna, but we already had this Mishnah back on Daf Pei. Kana, that if you're carrying out a reed, kidei lasos kol musa, it's the amount that you need to make a quill. But if it's if it was too thick to use for a quill, or it's cracked, and therefore you can't use it for a quill, so then we said the shear is going to be the amount that you would need to make fire that would cook the easiest, the most easily cooked egg. Trufa, if it's beaten, unasuna bilpas, and put in a frying pan. So we already had that. That's the shear of firewood. So says media. Over there, I would say by a reed where it's not ready for anything else, because a reed is very soft. Aval etzim dechazu dechazu lekako de aklida, but an etzim that could be used to make teeth on a key, afilu kolshu, I would think even a tiny amount that would be used to make teeth on a key. So kamash milan, that's why it comes to tell me that even etzim that are a little bit harder, the shear is going to be kedei levashel beitzakala, because stam etzim are meant lahasaka, they're not meant for the teeth on a key. So even though it's a kula, because you're not going to be mechayev, the Ritva points out, you're not going to be chayev unless you're motzi the shear, kedei levatzel beitzakala. So nevertheless, we follow what we do with stam etzim and not what the smallest thing you could ever do, you could ever possibly do with etzim is. Tavlin kedei letavel beitzakala, spices, the shear is the amount that you would take to spice a beitzakala. So all sorts of tavlin are mitzvahed with each other for that shear. So ask the Gemara, but I'll ask you a stira uriminu, where we have a Mishnah Maseches Orla in the second paragraph of Maseches Orla. Tavlin shnayim ushal shemos mimen echad. If you have tavlin shel iser that have two or three different shemos, but they're the same basic type of spice, pilpul lavan, pilpul shachar, pilpul aruch, different types of peppercorns, just a white one, a black. What, you know, so they have different shemos, but the same basic family of spices. Oh, mishloshaminim, or even if you have tavlinim from three entirely different shemos, three entirely different minim, and you use all of them to spice your pot, to spice your food, but none of them alone would have done the trick. Asurin umitzarfim zemze. All those tavlinim are asur, and they're mitzarif to asur the tavshil, the food that you're making. Ba'achila, meaning the Mishnah is a Mishnah Maseches Arla. The halacha is that Arla is asr, that which grows in the first 3 years of a tree is asr. So it's asr b'achil, it's asr b'anah. So it's going to be asr when even in such a tiny shear that each one alone would have done nothing, but it's still going to asr the entire pot. The chiddush is that you don't say that since each one alone does not have enough spice to affect the kedera, that maybe each one should be batel berov hatavshil, and therefore it's not going to be asr. No, the entire tavshil is going to be asr. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, another interpretation over here, that asurim means that if the tavlinim were put in the kedera, they asur the tavshil benesinas tam, and mitstarfim means that if they're misarev together with other tavlinim of dry tavlinim of isser, with dry tavlinim, these tavlinim of isser are mixed together with dry tavlinim of heter, they're mitstarev to asur the entire taroves of tavlinim, unless you have shishim in order to be mevatel them. So we're talking about that they're tavlinim of Isra are not nicker. There's no way to just pull them out, or you don't know which ones are the tavlinim of Isra. That's the Chazanish points that you have to say. So that's the interpretation of Tosfos, that when we say that they're mitzarfim zeim zeh, Rashi said that means ta'asr the tavshil that you put it in. Tosfos says, no, they're mitzarfim with each other if they get mixed in with other tavlinim. So v'amr chizkiya, and chizkiya comments that the Mishnah in Orla is talking about tavlinim that are meant to sweeten a kedera. That every tavlin has a slightly different flavor to it, obviously, but those that are sweeteners are at least similar to each other, that they give off a sweeter taste. That since these tavlinim can be used to sweeten the pot, so they're all considered the same basic min, and therefore they're mitzdarif to aser the kedera, meaning it's only because they have the same basic effect on the pot that they're going to be mitzdarif. Ooh, so time of the chazal matik esakedera halav hachi lo. It sounds like if they're not used to be the matik esakedera, then they would not be mitzdarif. But our Mishnah says that all tavlinim are mitzdarif for the shear of hotza'a. So luchari, even those that are not matik esakedera are mitzdarif for the shear of hotza'a against what it says in Arla. So says Mar Hachanami chazal matik. Now our Mishnah also, you have to say that we're talking about those tavlinim that are roy lematik ba'asakedera. Tosis raises the question, and Chizkia says that the Mishnah in Arla is talking about tavlina iser, which are mine metika, because if we're talking about that the time of the tavlin is sensed in the food, so why would it have to be mine metika that are asa the kedera? All types of tavlin of iser, you would have to say asa the kedera if you could sense the taste in the food. And if the time of the tavlin is not sensed, you can't sense it in the food, why is mine metika different? I mean, it also raises the question, what is the magic of mine metika? We're talking about tavlin, so the question should be, can you taste it? You like sweet things, you like spicy things, I don't care. If you can taste it in the food, then the tavlin is still a davar chashuv. If you can't taste it in the food, then the tavlin is not a davar chashuv. Why would we say dafka, mine metika? That's the kasha that Tosa says. And Tosa suggests that other types of tavlin, even if they do give flavor, they impart flavor into the food, but the flavor is generally going to be pogum, because there's a taroves of different tastes. So you could ruin the food by spicing it in different ways with different tastes. But tam pagum shalisser is not going to aser tavshil. But when you have mine metika, then the combination of them is not going to ruin the food. It's only going to enhance the food. And the halacha is that a davar iser that nevela shein aruya leger is ena kriya nevela. We learn from the pasuk. So that also includes the idea that anything that's no sin tam lefgam is not going to be aser. If it gives a negative taste into the food, then it's not going to be aser. Only that which is no sin tam lishvach, only that which enhances the flavor is going to retain its status of iser. The Ramban also asks on the Peites and Beis how the Gemara can ask from isuri achila to tzal Shabbos. By isuri achila, we're not mitzarif different types of food to one shear, even though the shear of each of them is to be mechayiv is a kezayis. Whereas chiyuv chatas by tzal Shabbos, they're all mitzarif to each other. Anything that has a shear shav, anything that has the same shear is always going to be mitzarif. That's what we learned on daf ayin vav and beis. Hamotzi yochem kurgo geres chayiv umitzarfim zem zem mipnei sheshavu b'shiur rayan. We said back on daf ayin vav and beis. So why does the Gemara assume isuri achila and isuri hotza'a are going to be comparable to each other, and that the tavlinim are not going to be mitzarif for the shear of hotza'a until they're all ro'i lematik esakadera, just like you have by isuri achila? So the Ramban says that you cannot compare tavlinim to food. Food you could eat on its own. Tavlinim on their own are inedible, and therefore tavlinim are not going to be in the category of machal. They're much more likely going to be similar to the Yisurim of Hotza'a. So Tavlinim, when it comes to Arla, even though we're talking about something that ultimately gets ingested, with the comparison, the more accurate comparison will be to the shear of Hotza'a and not to the shear of other foods. Okay, so then the Mishnah said further that someone carries to Rosh Hashanah Klipei Agozim, Klipei Rimonim, Stim, Upua, different type, or Satis, Upua, different types of dyes, Kedelitz ba beged katan. It's the amount that you need to be tzoveya a beged katan. So ask Gemara, minhi, I have a stira that amotzi samanim shirin. If a person takes out dyes that are already mixed with water and they're therefore ready to do the dyeing, kedelitz ba ben dugma, then the shear is going to be the amount that you would use to dye a sample. Every person who sells dyes would have a sample piece of wool that's already dyed, and they would show, this is what it looks like, this is what it comes out like on the wool. Be'ira, and they would use that to close the loom where they put the string that's used, the Erev string, the string that goes horizontally. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, Lefishei Nodam. So the Gemara answers, so isn't, meaning the Gemara's Kasha was that the Mishnah had said that it's Kedei Litzba Beged Katan, but where we say now, but we have a Brisa that says that it's not Litzba Beged Katan, Litzba Ben Dugma Le'ira. So answer the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, Lefishei Nodam Toreach Lishos Samanam, Litzba Ben Dugma Le'ira. That a person, that the Mishnah is talking about Samanim that are not yet soaked with water, are not yet ready to use. So such Samanim, you would not save and you would not think are a Davar Chashuv if all you're going to be able to do is dye a sample with it. Obviously, once you have a sample, then the sample is a Davar Chashuv, or even once you have the dye ready to go, so then it's considered Chashuv enough if you're going to be able to use it for a sample. But at an earlier stage in the production of the dye, you would not, it's not Chashuv enough to save it for a sample. Now the Gemara discusses the different types of detergents that the Mishnah had said. So one of the detergents we said was Meiraglayim. Meiraglayim to see if it can remove the stain. So Tana Meiraglayim Ad, and the Girsa issue over here, either Ben Arba'im Yom or Ad Arba'im Yom. So what in the world does that mean? So our Girsa is Meiraglayim Ad Ben Arba'im Yom. Tosus writes that the Girsa should be Meiraglayim Ad Arba'im Yom, and that's what the Bach changes in Os Aleph also. He takes away the word Ben. So what's the issue? Tosus writes that the Girsa in the Gemara, Meiraglayim Ben Arba'im Yom, means Meiraglayim of a child that is 40 days old. And Tosus rejects this because Maseches Nida, the Gemara is a suffix, if we're talking about Ben Meiraglayim of a Yeled or of a Zaken. So if it's a 40-day-old child, that's obviously, we've already identified the age of the person that the Meiraglayim is coming from. Tosus says that there are those that are Gores Meiraglayim Shel Arba'im Yom, which means 40-day-old urine, and he says that's not correct either, because the Braisa in Maseches Nida says that Meiraglayim, that's Ra'ui, to remove a Kesem, as if it's been around between 3 and 40 days. And therefore, you see that it doesn't have to be 40 days old. Well, over 3 days old, it's already a viable detergent. So therefore, Tosa says the Girsa, Meiraglayim Ad Arba'im Yom, that up until 40 days, meaning from 3 days until 40 days, after the Meiraglayim left the body. The Ramban has the Girsa Meiraglayim Ben Arba'im Yom, and he quotes all 3 Perushim of Tosos that Tosos mentions, but he's not Machriya. He doesn't reject any of the Perushim of Tosos. Okay, so something about the Meiraglayim that becomes a useful detergent. Neser Tana Neser Alexandris Vlo Neser and Pentarin. The Neser means the Neser from Alexandria, but not the Neser from a place called Anpentarin. Boris Amravido Zechol, that's a reference to sand, Vatanya, but don't we have a Bryce that says Haboris Vehachol? Elamai Boris Kavrisa. You're right. Boris must mean sulfur, must not mean sand. So Mesve, but I have a problem with that as well. Hosifu Alein, the Brysa adds to those things that make that are used as dyes that are mentioned in the Mishnah that have kedusha shviyas, that the following things hachalbitzin valiunin vaboris vaoel, but visal kadaitach kavrisa, if boris means sulfur, kavrisa miyisa b'shviyas, does sulfur have a kedusha shviyas? That's kedusha shmita. We're listing things that are kedusha shviyas. Sulfur has kedusha shviyas. Vatanya zak lal kol sheyeshlo ikur yeshlo shviyas. But don't we have a rule that only that which has root, that take root in the ground and are yonek menakarka, have kedusha shviyas, but a mineral that you mine from the ground that doesn't take root in the ground does not have kedusha shviyas. V'shein lo ikur, ain lo shviyas. If it doesn't have an ikur, it doesn't take root in the ground, so then there is no kedusha shviyas. So gufris is something that you mine from the ground. It doesn't have a shoresh ba'aretz, and therefore should not have kedusha shviyas. Elamai boris ahala. So what is boris? In fact, boris is ahala. So ask Gemara Vatanya. But the Brisa says v'haboris v'ahala, that boris and ahala are two separate items on the list. So trei gavni ahala, you have to say that there are two kinds of ahala. Tosfos raises the question that we had previously asked when we said that boris is chol v'atanya haboris v'achol, and we didn't answer trei gavni chol, that there are two types of chol, there are two types of sand. Instead, we just changed the pshat. We said boris must not be chol; it must mean sulfur. So why over here are we okay with just saying two types of, and over there we weren't? aren't okay saying two types of. So Tosfos says, it sounds like a balabat shiter. It's because we know that there aren't two types of chol. So since there aren't two types of chol, but there are two types of al. Okay, ki kimulia amar Rav Yehuda shlof dot. It's a certain tzemach that's called the shlof dot. What exactly is that? Says Rashi, no idea. Rashi says that I have no idea what type of tzemach that is. This Rashi is quoted by the Bir Agra in Hilchos Nida in Simon Kuf Tzadi when we talk about the dinim of ksamim. So there is this halacha that you can identify whether a kesem is dam or not through the shiva sabmanim. So Beis Yosef writes, yeah, you used to be able to identify whether a kesem is dam or not through the shiva sabmanim, but we don't even know what the shiva sabmanim are anymore, and therefore we can no longer use the shiva sabmanim. We're not confident that we're going to be able to properly identify what these detergents are and how to use them. Says the Gra, Rashi Shabbos Tzadi Amud Aleph, meaning that's the Maror Makom, that we don't know what the identification of these items are, because here Rashi says explicitly that even when the Gemara identifies it, we don't know what the Gemara's identification is of the detergent. Ashlag Amr Shmuel Shaltin L'chol Nechusiyami says, I asked all the people who travel by sea, V'amrli Shonana Shemei, and they said it's called a Shonana. U'mishtakach B'nukva D'Marganisi. You can find it in the hole of a pearl, and V'mafgilei B'rimtza D'Parzalein. You take it out with a very specialized iron instrument to remove it. So that's where you find this item. Okay, next Mishnah. More items and the shear of Hotza'ah for these items. Palpelas kolshu, pepper is the shear is a kolshu. Itran, if you have tar, kolshu, also just a kolshu. Mine besamim, different types of spices that have a pleasant aroma. Mine matachos, types of metals, kolshain, also the shear is a kolshu. Me'avneh mizbeach, me'afra mizbeach, me'kakas svarim, u'me'kak matbechoseyem, kolshu shematzninos on the gonzan. And if you have things that have kedusha, like the stones of the mizbeach, the dirt that goes into the construction of the mizbeach, or a wormy svarim, or even the coverings of svarim that worms have eaten through, the shear is a kolshu. Why? Because you would take even a tiny amount of them to put into geniza. So that makes it a shear kolshu. The Ramban points out that the din that the Tan is telling avnei mizbeach mekak shel svarim matbuchaseim that you're chayav for hotzah must be dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda that you're chayav from lacha shein tzricha legufa, because you're not being motzi them to use them. So if you're not being motzi them to use them, you're only being motzi them to be gonez them. That's malach shein tzricha legufa. The malach of hotza'ah was done in the Mishkan for the sake of using the item that you were being motzi. So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the malach shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, so then you could say the shear is a kol shehu, because that's the shear of hotza'ah that one could be chayiv on. But if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, the malach shein tzricha legufa, you're not chayiv on, then the shear would not be a kol shehu, because that's not a usable, amount. If you hold malach shein tzricha legufa is potter, like Rabbi Shimon, so over here you'd be potter as well. That's the Ramban's ha'ara over here. The items of kedusha require geniza. That's always the halacha, that which has kedusha requires geniza. There are other items that are called tashmishe mitzvah. Tashmishe mitzvah do not require geniza. Tashmishe mitzvah calls man that you're using them for the mitzvah. They can't be used in a disrespectful manner. But if you're not using it, when as soon as you're done using them for the mitzvah, as soon as you're finished using them for the mitzvah, then you can get rid of them. You can throw them out, as long as you throw them out in a more dignified kind of way than you would be than you would throw out everything else. The Rav Shechta has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi where he explains that the hagdara of tashmishe kedusha versus tashmishe mitzvah is that which has a connection to ksav shel Torah. Like a lulav is tashmishe mitzvah. It's got nothing to do with ksav shel Torah. But tashmishe kedusha, that's like tefillin and sefer Torah, mezuzos, that which is either has ksav shel Torah on it or is connected to ksav shel Torah. Even the mikdash itself, the kedusha of the mikdash, emanates from the presence of the Aron, from the presence of the Torah itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa motzi mishamshe avodazara kolshu. Even if someone is motzi mishamshe avodazara, the tiniest amount of mishamshe avodazara. Mishamshe avodazara, so chashuv, even the tiniest amount, yes. Shenemar v'liyidbuk v'yarcha mu'uma min acherim. They're chashuv enough for us to view them as something that is that we have to destroy, that we have to get rid of. That even mu'uma means a kolshu. So the Torah is machshiv misham shevel d'zara, even in a kolshu, as something to be avoided. So apparently a kolshu of it is a chashuv enough amount. Now we did say in the Mishnah previously that on Daf Ayin Hey that anything that's kasher latznio matznim kamoso and you're motzi on Shabbos you're chayiv. And the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah that if you're motzi atze asherah you're not chayiv because they're motus and you need to destroy them so you would never be matznia them. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says you're chayiv even on hotzav misham shevel dezara because the Torah is machshiv them with the word meuma. So that's what Rashi points out. So what's going on over here? So Rashi says, yeah, our Mishnah, the Mishnah over there, rather, must not hold like Rabbi Yehuda over here. The Mishnah over there says you would never be matzniyah, mimela, it's ma'us, so it's not going to be a shir kolshu. Our Mishnah says it is a shir kolshu, because le'yidbruk yalcham u'uma. Ramban says that our Mishnah is talking about where you're motzi the avodah zarah in order to burn it or to throw it into Yam HaMelech. So for that purpose, you're matzniyah the avodah zarah, to do what you need to do with it. And Rabbi Yehuda is l'shitasa, the malach shein shricha l'gufa, yechayivan, so tzas avodah zarah, in order to destroy, is a malach shein shricha l'gufa, for which you could be chayiv, because you're trying to get rid of it. The Mishnah previously is talking about someone who's motzi l'rishas rab matzi asherah to use them, so he's pater, because it's not the derech of people to be matznia atzi asherah to use them, because it's ma'us. So Yontif points out that l'chora, it's machlokas yibidan tanakama about misham shevodah zarah, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, malach shein shricha l'gufa, yechayiv, according to the Tanakhama, you're potter. But he says you can't say that because the Rambam doesn't quote the halacha, doesn't quote Rabbi Yehuda la halacha, but he does pass in the Malach Shein Shrich Lugufa, you are chayiv. So he explains that according to the Tanakhama, being matzniya avodah zarah in order to destroy it is not included in kala kasha latzniya. Because the maisa, you don't have any use for it. You're only putting it away so that you can later destroy it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that is included in kala kasha latzniya. Meaning, what do we mean, kala kasha latznia? Something that you would ever put away for any reason whatsoever, or something that you would put away for later usage? Meaning, if you're going to put it away to later destroy, is that called something that you are being matznia? There is a machlokas, Rambam Ramban, in Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Rambam in Los HaSei Chafei, and the Ramban in Los HaSei Kufzadi Dalid, talk about this Isser, the Mishnah quotes of Le'yidbak B'yadcha Mu'uma Min Acherim. The Rambam says that this Lav is talking about, it goes on Misham She'avod Azar itself, not just the Avodah Zarah. The Ramban, however, says no, it's about the Avodah Zarah itself and not Misham She'avodah Zarah. Frek the Ramban on himself, this Mishnah is clearly against me, because the Mishnah says explicitly that Afamotzi Misham She'avodah Zarah is Kol Shu. Why? Lo Yidbak B'yadcha Me'uma. So don't you see that it's not only about Avodah Zarah itself, it's about Misham She'avodah Zarah as well? So the Ramban says that Rabbi Yehuda must mean to say, since the Torah says that the word Me'uma in connection to Avodah Zarah itself, so the Torah is Machshav Kol Shu of Avodah Zarah itself, so we in turn derive from there that even Misham She'avodah Zarah we should be Machshav B'Kol Shehu, because the Torah is a Machshav the Avodah Zarah itself, so we should be Machshav even a Kol Shehu of the Misham She'avodah Zarah. Okay, that's how the Ramban is Dochek to fit the Mishnah into his Shita. Papelus Kol Shehu L'may Chazya, says Gemara, what can you use a small peppercorn for? L'Reach HaPeh, it's good to solve the problem of someone who has bad breath. Itron kol shu l'may chazi, what would you use a small amount of itron for? Litzi lachta, it apparently helps for a migraine headaches when you smell it. Mine b'sam kol shein, different types of spices kol shein. So tan rabban amotzi reach ra, if a person takes something that has a foul aroma, kol shu, the shir is a kol shu. Shemen tov kol shu, fantastic oils also kol shu. Argaman, the royal dye of argaman, of purple, royal purple, kol shu. Ubisulis haverid, and young rose also achas, just one would be the amount for the shear of hotza'a. Rashi explains when we say that reach ra, he says that there's a certain semach that's called chalotis that they would burn it and it would produce an aroma, a foul aroma for the a foul odor for the that would treat babies in order to get the mazikin away from the babies, that they believe that it's chased away when whatever spirits were there that could otherwise harm a baby. Okay, so and argaman also, Rashi says argaman means that he says he doesn't understand why the reason is that why the shear is a kolshu. What would you use a kolshu of argaman for? So then he says, but maybe it's because it's roi laharacha, that they would use it also for the smell, and that's why the shear is a kolshu. That even in a very tiny amount, apparently the smell solves something. The argaman comes from the same thing that tcheles comes from. So that dye, the dyeing process, if anyone's ever been to the tcheles factory, the place reeks. I remember I brought one of my children, and my oldest son, before his bar mitzvah, to the tcheles factory, and for years afterwards, what do you know about tcheles? I know that it stinks. I know that that the factory, because it has a very, very strong smell, so the argaman also has a very, very strong smell. Once it's on your tzitzis, it doesn't have a strong smell anymore, but when they're extracting the dye, and and they're producing it, it has a very strong smell. So mine matachos kol shein, different types of metals are a kol shu, lemai chazu, what are they, what can you use with a kol shu, what can you do with a kol shu, mine matachos, so tiny Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, shekein roi lasos mimena darban katan, you can make a tiny goad to goad an animal along. Tanu Rabbanan, haomer harei alai, bar, is it right? A goat, I guess, for a smaller animal, or maybe it's even for an ox. It's a goat is a melamed abakar. It's something that you use dafka for an ox. So maybe maybe a small one is useful also, even though an ox is a pretty big animal. But I think the word goat in general, I mean, we use it now in the English language to refer to other things. But I think a darban, we always use dafka to refer to bakar. That we don't use it to refer, now people use it. Rabbi Maurice Lamb, I happen to have the book right here. Rabbi Maurice Lamb, Zichron Levrach, in his book Consolation, dedicates it to his brother Rabbi Norman Lamb, Zichron Levrach, and the dedication he writes about his brother in the dedication he writes to my brother Norman, his rivalry was a goad. It's a nice dedication. It continues, but his rivalry was a goad, meaning that it pushed him along to want to accomplish something. Okay, but I think in Shas we use it to refer to dafka that which goads the bakar, not that which goads people. If a person says, I'm going to commit to give barzel to the Bedek HaBayis, and he doesn't say how much, he's got to give at least one amma by one amma of barzel. What's he going to do with one amma by one amma of barzel? The Beis HaMikdash could use it to make a pointy top so that ravens won't land on the roof. Some have the conversation in the reverse, that you have to give at least a kalya orev worth. How much is that? It's one amma by one amma. Nechoshes lo yivchos mima'a kesef. If he says he's going to give nechoshes and he doesn't say how much, he can't give any less than a ma'a kesef worth of nechoshes. Tanya Reb Elazar Omer lo yivchos mitzinora ketana shel nechoshes. The amount of nechoshes you could use to make a small pitchfork. Lamai chazia, what are you going to use a small pitchfork for? Amar Abaye, what's the Beis HaMikdash going to use it for? Shemechatit in ba'as ha'psilos. They use it to take off the burnt edge of the wicks, and they clean out the neros from whatever ashes are inside of them with a teeny pitchfork. So svarim u'makak mitpachos. We said that wormed out svarim and the coverings of svarim are also the shears of kolshu. So the Gemara explains the names of the worms that the Gemara identifies the names of the worms that eat into different things. Amr of Yehuda makak desifri. The name of the worm that eats Svarim is a makak, tachach tishirai, that's what eats silk, v'ila de envy, that's what eats grapes, ufe de te'eni, that's what eats figs, v'hei de rimoni, hei is what eats pomegranates, kula sakanta, and they're all dangerous. If you eat any of these things, it's an incredible sakana. So u talmid adav yasav kamed rabbi yochanan, there was a talmud sitting by rabbi yochanan, v'ka'achol te'eni, and he was eating figs, amalei rabbi kotzin yesh b'te'enim, he says, it feels like there are thorns in the te'enim. He didn't realize that it was the worm, the peh worm, that eats the te'enim. So Amar katlin peh l'dein, or Amar le, it's machlokes whether he said this to him or he just said it to himself, ayvei, this guy's a goner, meaning he's eating something very dangerous, and we don't have a refuah for this, so this guy's about to die. Hamotzi kupas harochlin, if a person carries out to Rosh Hashanah the box of that a peddler would peddle spices with, aval pi sheyesh b'minim harbe, even though there are many different types of besamim in the box, enu chayv elechatas achas, he's only chayv one carbon chatas for being motzi the entire kupa. Tosas raises the question, what's the chiddush? Chayish. Of course, you only Chayiv one Chatas, even if you're Motzi one after the other, Behelim Echad, as long as you didn't realize in between, you're only Chayiv Chatas Achas. So, of course, you only Chayiv Chatas Achas. So, Tosfos has a couple of answers. I mean, Tam and the Ri, but whatever the way, let's move on. Zerona Gina Pachs Mikigro Geres. If he carries out Zerona Gina seeds to plant a garden with, it's less than a Grogeres, so he's Chayiv Chatas. Rabbi Yehuda Mesera Omer Chamisha, that even if he only carries five seeds, he's going to be chayiv. Zera kishuin, the seeds to plant cucumbers, shnayim, you only need two. Zera diluin, the seeds of gourds, shnayim. Zera pula mitzri, the seeds of a pula mitzri bean, shnayim, also just two. Chagov chay tohar kolshu, if you have a live kosher grasshopper, even if it's very tiny. Mace, a dead kosher grasshopper, kigrogeres. Then the shear is going to be a grogeres, because then it's a food. Tziporis kramim, bein chaya bein mesa. A tziporis kramim, which is machlokas, whether it's a bird or some other type of grasshopper, whether it's alive or dead, kolshu, the shear is a kolshu, shematzniyus osal refuah, because they would use it for refuah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Motzi Chag of Chay, tame kolshu, shematzniyus on lekatan lischok bo. Even a non-kosher live grasshopper, the shear is going to be a kolshu, because you put it away because it was a good toy for a child to play with. Apparently it wasn't dangerous, so it wouldn't bite the kid, and it was exciting for a child to play with these little creatures. So Minu, so says the Gemara, we had said in the Mishnah that the shear of Otsav Zra'im for each min is the smallest shear is two seeds. Or Minu, but I have a stira, we learned earlier on Daf Pei, Zevel V'chol Adak K'dei L'Zabel Kelach Shel Kruv Divrei Rabbi Akiva, the amount that you would need to fertilize a stalk of cabbage, a type of leek, which is smaller than the shear of Rabbi Akiva. But bottom line is, you see that even zera that comes from one gargir is chashav. You don't need two gargirim. So Amar Papa hadalozaria. Once it's already planted and it grew, then even one is chashav. But when we're talking about just taking the seeds themselves, that's only going to be chashav. You have two. L'fishen adam torech lotzi nima achas lozaria. You wouldn't take out just one thing, just one seed for planting. Zerakishuin, the Zerakishuin, we said the shear is Shnegar Garim, so the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses the shear itself for other items. Tan Rabbanan, Hamotzi Garin, and Im Linati, if you're taking out seeds for tamarim, for dates, if you plan on planting them, Shtayim, the shear is two. Im Lachili, when you eat them, Kimlo Pichazia, then it's the amount that you need to fill a pig's mouth with. Vekamim Lo Pichazir, Achas, what do you fill a pig's mouth with? Just one, because you can give it to a guy to feed his pigs with. But obviously, the Rishonim point out, Tosfos points out over here, it doesn't mean your own pig, because it's asur for a Jew to be megadel chazirim. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, Davayin Tes, a Jew is not allowed to raise pigs. The kamam lo pi chazir achas, we said, so im lahasik kedei levashal beitz hakala, and if you're using it for firewood, then it's the amount that you need to be mevashal beitz hakala. Im lecheshbon, if you're just taking out these small seeds to keep cheshbon of something, let's say someone owes you $15, so he gives you 15 of these seeds to remember how much he owes you when he has the money. So it would be shtayim. Achirim amrim chamish. Others say no, it would be five garinim is the shear, because people tend to remember up until four. When it's the number is four, people will remember. But beyond that, you need a memory aid. Tan Rabbanan, motzi shnei min miznavas nus miznava para chayiv. If you take two hairs from the tail of a horse or from the tail of a cow, you're chayiv. Shematznino son l'nishbin, because you would use it for the nets that you catch birds with. Maksha shel chazir, if you take one of the hard hairs of a pig, achas, a single one you'd be chayiv for. Tzore dekel, the branches that are by a dekel tree, shtayim, you need two of them, two of the leaves rather. Tzore dekel, the strands, the thick strands that grow around the dekel tree, achas, one of them, a single chut of them is enough to be chayiv on. Tziporis kram ben chayiv ben mesa, so we said it, tziporis kram, and whether it's alive or dead, kolshu, this year is a kolshu, my tziporis kram, and what is this creature? Amrav, palya biari, it's a palya biari, but machlokas rishonim, whether that means a bird or a grasshopper. Amar Abayu, mishtakach b'dikla techad gevara. It could be found in a young dekel tree that only has one strand wrapped around it. Va'avdi lo l'chuchman. They use it for a person who needs to become wiser. How do you become smarter with it? Achle l'palge d'yemine. You eat the right half of this creature. Opalge d'smali ramele b'gufta d'nechasha. And you take the left half of the creature and you put it in a copper tube, the chasm babshitun gushpanki, and then you seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says lav dafka 60, just a bunch of seals. Vitali la beivra de smala, and then you hang it on your left side of your body, on your left arm, v'simanayich, and the simon to remember where to hang it is lev chacham liyamino, lev ksil smolo. The guy is obviously a ksil, he's an idiot, that's why he needs this thing for chachma. So that's why he would put it on his left side of the body. I mean, that's how he remembers, lev ksil is the smolo. The chacham kamed debayi, and then he becomes as smart as he needs to say, he learns whatever he needs to learn, he imbibes all the information he needs to imbibe, the gamar kamed debayi, and he learns whatever he needs to learn when he becomes smart enough, v'achle lidoch palga, then he eats the other half. If he doesn't eat the other half, then whatever he gained is going to be lost. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afamotzi, Rabbi Yehuda said, even a chag of chai tameh, the shear is a kolshu, because you would put it away for a child to play with. So the Tanakama savar, lo, Tanakama says, they're not a chag of chai tameh, they would not put away a chag of chai tameh, and therefore the shear is not a kolshu, you would not give it to your kid. My tameh, why wouldn't you give it to your kid to play with? Dilma achle, because you're afraid he might eat it. So, ihach, he says, well, if you're afraid he might eat it, tar nami, then even a kosher grasshopper should be a problem, because even though a kosher grasshopper doesn't require shchita, he put a certain type of kosher grasshopper by his mouth. Take it away from your mouth. I don't want people to think that you're eating it. It may not require shchita, but it's still baltashaktsu to eat a live creature, so you don't want to give it to the child because he might eat it. Ella, the reason is dilma mayis v'achalei. Now, the reason you don't give it to the kid is it might die and then it'll eat it. While it's alive, he'll play with it, and once it's dead, he'll say, okay, so now it's dead, so then he'll eat it. So that's not a concern by a kosher grasshopper, because that's fine, but a non-kosher grasshopper is a problem. Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda think you're allowed to give the non-kosher grasshopper? Aren't you afraid that that it will die and he'll eat it? He says, no, you don't know children. If it dies, the kid is going to say a hesped, and he's going to hold a funeral for it. He's not going to eat it. Well, that was his pet. So that's how a child treats his pet. So Adrin Lacham Rabbi Kiva, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we will begin the 10th parak of Maseches Shabbos. Have a great day, everybody.